This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Jeff Robinson from Deakin University. Jeff, good morning and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also, hey, and Happy New Year to the listeners as well.
Good to talk to you. Hey, we wanted to do a bit of crystal ball gazing, first of all, and just have a look at what potentially could unfold this year in the federal political arena. I want to start with the government. Tony Abbott seems to be shaking things up a little bit, whether he's speaking out of turn or not, and it's going to put some pressure on Turnbull's leadership, I think. Do you think that's something we're going to see continuing through 2017?
I think we are going to see Tony continuing to snipe from the sidelines. I mean, it's curious in some ways because losing the prime ministership, obviously a pretty traumatic experience, but I think he feels emboldened by Turnbull's disappointing performance in the election. You know, even if I think perhaps train of history has probably passed Tony Abbott by, I suspect, and even some of his supporters seem to be losing interest in him. But I think we will certainly hear substantially more from him across the coming year.
Will it put pressure on Malcolm's leadership? Is there somebody who's waiting, sort of standing behind him? I don't know whether it's Scott Morrison or one of those with a nice big sharp knife in their hand, ready to plunge it somewhere deep into Malcolm's back?
I'm actually a bit inclined to doubt that because there isn't really, I think, a potential challenger to Turnbull. I mean, you know, talk about Julie Bishop, but I think you can sort of see Julie Bishop very much as a kind of Turnbull Mark II. I think that kind of sort of soft right, sort of conservative wing of the cabinet, like Morrison, Dutton, Mateus Cormann, people like that, sort of feel that, you know, Turnbull's pretty much doing what they want him to do and that their political fortunes depend on the success of the government. I mean, I think at the moment, I think there's still a viewpoint across most of the party that, you know, Turnbull is probably the best they can do and they're best off sticking with him. You know, of course, the kind of hard right, you know, the kind of Corey Bernardi, people like that and so on, are always going to be shouting in the background. But I don't think that's actually expressing itself in the majority of the party at the moment.
Do you think that there is a chance, though, seriously, that there could be the chance that Turnbull could seriously be deposed this year or and replaced by someone else? Is that a real threat?
I think it's unlikely, but of course, after the last year in politics, you probably wouldn't say it.
I think you're a very brave man to say it's not going to happen.
Look, I mean, I think if the government's opinion poll ratings, and yet, you know, it's all driven by opinion polls these days, if they really plunge dramatically, and if the government seemed to be heading potentially towards, you know, a kind of landslide defeat or something like that, it's probably likely that panic would develop and that there would be a move to change the leadership. Now, the problem is perhaps this, nobody sort of really stands out. You know, as I say, you know, there's Bishop, and Bishop would be sort of Turnbull Mark II, basically. Mm. You know, she'd have sort of a brief...
She's also served under, I think, now four leaders of the party. I think it would almost show up as being ridiculously disloyal should she end up taking the leadership.
I think it would be, and, you know, I'm inclined to think that, you know, barring some kind of complete collapse, that probably the government will soldier on as they've been doing so for the last year and say, well, you know, they are getting some successes in the Senate. You know, the Senate's being a bit more amenable towards some of their objectives, and even if the things they're getting through the Senate aren't things that particularly excite voters, you know, they're things that excite the kind of core support base of the Liberal Party.
Jeff, I'm hearing some whispers from the other side of the chamber that there is contemplation from Bill Shorten that he may actually step down from the leadership in this year so that the Labour Party, the ALP, can in fact elect a new leader to take them through to the next federal election. Is that something that you are cognizant of, or is that something that you think could happen?
I find it very doubtful to see that Bill Shorten would want to give up the opportunity of being Prime Minister. I mean, I think he's very attracted towards the idea of being Prime Minister. I mean, it's why he entered politics in the first place. He's the model, ambitious, young, upwardly mobile Labor politician. You know, he's been that for 20 or 30 years, basically. That's been his format. And although I don't think he doesn't generate wild excitement among voters, you know, the fact is Labor's travelling pretty well at the moment, and probably most Labor MPs feel fairly happy with the kind of policy line the government's pushing at the moment. I mean, if anything, it's sort of the coalition that seems to be divided over ideology, whereas Labor seems to be pretty united.
But Geoffrey, is Bill Shorten the best leader for the ALP? Is someone more attractive to the populace, such as Tony Plibersek?
I think his problem is that he looks like he's the archetypal political insider, and there is a voter interest, I think, in outsider leaders, people who come across as being more authentic and so on. You know, I mean, I think that you'd probably have to say Anthony Albanese probably has more potential in that regard. But on the other hand, how he attached himself pretty firmly to the leadership, he's got a pretty strong basis of support within caucus. So I'd be doubtful if there'd be any substantial movement there, I would say. You know, if he was able, in a sense, to hold on during the sort of Turnbull boom, when it looked like Malcolm Turnbull was going to sweep all before him, Shorten was able to hold on to the leadership. With Turnbull struggling, you sort of think that the kind of objective positions for Shorten look stronger there. But something might come up. There could be some amazing dramatic setback or something like that Labor confronts. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
The reason I asked, I have actually heard some whispers from inside the Labor Party that is being contemplated. And for the purpose of the leadership or the opportunity of the next election being won by the ALP under a younger and slightly more dynamic leadership. So that's the whisper I hear, and I was just curious to get your thoughts. Mm-hmm. Dr. Geoff Robinson is, of course, our guest from Deakin University. We have seen a global sort of lurch to the right, if you will, if we look at the election of Donald Trump, of Duterte in the Philippines, the ever ongoing influence of Vladimir Putin in Russia, and the near win of the far right candidate in Austria. Is this sort of the last, and you'll forgive me for the poor phrasing of this question, but is this sort of the last swing of the pendulum to the right before it starts to move back to the centre and indeed possibly to the left?
I think it's a swing towards outsiders who perhaps happen to be right-wing, I think. So I think there's going to be this continued interest in outsider politics. And I think maybe it's a question as to whether or not the left can find people who've got that kind of outside the political establishment appeal. I mean, you might perhaps have one problem with the left in Europe in particular. You know, the left is seen as being part of the political establishment. It's been there for decades. People are looking for something different. That was the problem with Hillary Clinton. You know, she screamed political establishment. So, yeah, it's interesting to see how that phase out. You know, in the Australian context, I mean, people give a lot of attention to Pauline Hanson, but I think Pauline Hanson's seen as a very ideological, polarising figure. Oddly enough, lots of people in America didn't see Donald Trump as particularly right-wing. That might seem odd, but lots of Americans just thought, well, he's this smart, can-do businessman who's not part of the establishment and who's going to shake things up. Whereas in Australia, something like Pauline Hanson is seen as being a very ideological right-winger. I think maybe that's part of her problem.
Talking about Donald Trump, there was actually recently an intelligence report which indicated that Putin directly ordered the influence of the US elections via cyber espionage. What's your view on that?
Look, I'm sure that Russian government has interest in the American election, and as the American government, of course, has always been very interested in what goes on with overseas elections. So it's a bit amusing to see the Americans getting excited about other people trying to do what they have wanted to do to them. Look, I mean, I think it's true that the Russians tried to intervene, but I'm struck in American politics how this is almost a kind of excuse for the Democrats to avoid facing up to the fact that their fa- favoured candidate lost to Donald Trump. I mean, if you lose a presidential election to Donald Trump, of all people, my view is you're doing something pretty disastrously wrong. And hyperventilating about Vladimir Putin and WikiLeaks and so on really isn't solving your fundamental problem, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, it's a very interesting set of circumstances we've got ahead of us for 2017. Jeff, I hope you can join us as we continue through the year. Your phone line's just getting a little ropey there for us, so I'm going to have to wind up. Thank you for your time this morning, and we look forward to talking to you regularly throughout 2017.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity, Pete.
Pleasure. That's Dr. Jeff Robinson from Deakin University.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.